There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Municipal Election Day Tuesday. A lot to talk about with y'all, and I want to hear from you on what it looked like at your polling place today, like we've done for, I don't know, 15, 16 years with this radio station. All kind of different elections. You can hit us up on the text line at 343-0106. 343-0106. Also for a phone call. You want to describe what you saw? You can do that as well. 343-0106 for both texting and calling. And the very popular, I was checking out some numbers out there, the very popular FM Talk 106.5 app. If you haven't gotten it yet, take a second and go download it. It's free. If you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. Android user, go to Google Play. Just look for FM TALK 1065. FM Talk 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. And you'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. It's free. You can stream the station. All our podcast posts there first. Our social media feeds are all, what is it? The curated thing. They're all put in one place where you can get at them right there. Plus, you can call or text from there. But in addition, you can use the microphone icon on the front page there. If y'all press that, unless you record your voice, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. And you can do that throughout the week with 56 hours a week of live local shows. You know, there's a lot of times you might want to chime in. You can use those, at least those three methods pretty easily to call, text, or send a talk back message. All right, as we get started, a couple things here. You know, like often I have the idea of what I want to do in the show, and then, well, the news hits. That news right there that went at noon, the news, the national news. How is the national news? The story about racism in cricket, I think, right? The wicket cricket thing, racist cricket fans. I mean, glad we know that. That's now been added to the list. And the New World Screwworm, which if that's not a band name by now, they're missing something out. We will talk about screwworms in the mix here in just a little bit. But yes, Election Day today. Some of the things I saw, this was interesting. A buddy of mine, now this is a couple hours old. Let me see when he sent this to me. A couple hours old. 300 had turned out. Okay, by 10 a.m., 300 had turned out to vote on Dauphin Island. I think that's a pretty good turnout by 10 a.m. You know, they've got a council race and municipal race on Dauphin Island, of course, mayor race, all that stuff going on. 300 turnouts by 10. That's pretty impressive as a percentage of their voters. What are you seeing out there? Because municipals can be, well, we've had municipal elections in the past that push 45, 46%. We've had some that don't. So kind of trying to get your assessment of what you've seen today. Let's see. People are predicting, because we talked about this yesterday. I think it was Derek who started off and said, hey, are we taking bets and predictions? What happened? And I think he was talking specifically the Mobile mayoral race, which has probably gotten the bulk of the attention, but obviously there's other elections going on out there. I would say the Orange Beach mayoral elections probably even gotten more attention here as of late. But yeah, you can still make your predictions because DEI texter said, got this in too late yesterday, Spiro and Drummond in the runoff. And then ask, are you going to give your prediction today? Also saying, Kennan goes down in Orange Beach. Am I going to give my prediction today? I'm not going to give a prediction. I will say this. I would just say this, and it might mean something to some people, mean nothing to other people. Blue Horseshoe loves Paul Prine. Blue Horseshoe loves Paul Prine. We'll leave it at that. That makes no sense to a lot of people. Some people know exactly what it means. Backstrap Stacker, when I used to vote in the city, Backstrap, you and I voted at the same place, E.R. Dixon, said there were less than 600 votes at E.R. Dixon by 11 a.m. That seems weak. To me, that seems like a weak turnout there. Let's see. Oh, update from the official vote counter with FM Talk 106.5. Well, we have two of them. Dan said, okay, I think it took him 10 minutes or something to vote. Dalton said, here's the time frame. He listened to Jeff's sign-off. Okay, so that happens at 11:57:20 is when the sign-off is with Jeff. Dalton says, I listened to Jeff's sign-off. I went in and voted at West Mobile Library, back in the truck before the top of the hour news ended. It was smooth. In other words, that's not a big turnout there. Gary, hey, Sean, good afternoon. When do you think the predictions will have results? What time I'm going to hold, man, I want to be in bed by 10. Yeah, I don't think you're going to have to stay up too late. Polls close at 7. The volume here that I'm seeing, Gary, I think you'll be fine. I don't think it's going to affect your bedtime at all. Mob Dog said, went about 10 a.m. at my polling place near the Loop. I was in and out, but about 10 people in there when I went. See, I like this too. Pat is making a prediction here. Says, I'm going to go with 17% turnout for city races. Now, that is super low. Because I think, what's the lowest we've ever had? Like a 16%? I think that was in a runoff. I remember like coming on the air and like throwing one of my trademark conniptions with the 16. So Pat is saying 17% turnout. You mean for Mobile or for all municipals, Pat? So clarify that as you're putting that up. All right, so there's some of the predictions coming out there. But that was interesting. That Dolphin Island number was interesting. Ben says Endicott Steel loves Spiro. Okay, so, yeah, so we've got Endicott Steel loves Paul Prine, and we got Endicott Steel loves Spiro. So obviously Ben knows how to put it in the parlance of the day. You can put those in at the text line, 343-0106. I'd say bigger news out here, you want to talk about turnout. What set the social media world on fire last night? Leanne and I were just talking about it before the show started. Yeah, what's a bigger announcement than any municipal election out there? From Orange Beach to Citronelle to all the points in between? It was put out there without any detail. A lot of people put it on Facebook, but the mayor of Sims put it out. I think it was cryptic. I think they showed the red-dyed cock feather that would be worn in the hats of the cock of the walk on a riverboat in the Mississippi River. And the word was that, well, they took it from that. There was just, some people were just sharing the image there. And then people took it from there and said, it looks like there will be Cock of the Walk is what I could be wrong, but it looks like Cock of the Walk returns to our area and it will be in Sims, which is close to where I live, which is good stuff. So I think I saw more traffic about Cock of the Walk returning than I did any of the election material. I'll say this, Endicott Steel loves Cock of the Walk too. Pat saying less than 100 voters at my spot on Hillcrest at 11, lowest I've ever seen. Wow. Somebody ask any word how the turnout's been on Cody Road at W.R. Savior Church, voting there about 6:30. If somebody knows, let me know. Matt says Blue Horseshoe likes Jeff Boyd, Joe McDonald, and Hudson versus Drummond.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Election Day Tuesday, which, by the way, thank you for confirmation. I, maybe I don't know if I'm username or not, but someone who would know said, yes, it is Cock of the Walk coming to Sims. You know, it wasn't exactly like I broke the Da Vinci Code when I saw the red cock feather picture put on social media last night in the discussion. I mean, I could feel like, you know, when I did this and I figured out where the Ark of the Covenant is, because, I saw it and then everybody said, Cock of the Walk. That's good. That's good. Big fan of the fried catfish. Other day, we drove up, I'd say the other day, it's been months ago, but and we're sitting there wanting catfish in a big way. And I know there are places in town that have catfish. And no offense to those restaurants, there's pretty good catfish. But we wanted to go to like a catfish house, right? I don't know why. Just specifically catfish house. So we drove the whole way up. And it's not a bad place. If you're going to go up 45, first of all, God bless you. Be careful. When you drive up 45 and you get into Mississippi, and like I said, when you hit Mississippi, it's like the angels start singing. It goes from the two-lane road of death to four-lane, split-lane interstate with the big median, the whole nine yards. But you go up there a little bit of distance, I'd say not more than 3 or 4 miles when you get past the state line there. You get in Mississippi on your left side as you're going northwest. There's Jordan's Catfish House. If you're up that way, love that place. Love it. Big cinder block building, great catfish. The coleslaw is fantastic. So that's one of them. But to have Cock of the Walk coming back, that's good stuff. All right. Let's go back here. Let me get more people. Blue Horseshoe is alive on the text line here. Makes me feel good that I did say something that people understand, at least a lot of y'all. Although Terry says here, and Terry, I just got a text from a friend of mine. She said, please talk more about the screwworm story. Terry said, the screwworm story is just more sensational clickbait. Of course it is, Terry. Like most things, they'll have something that affects the brain-eating amoeba that I talk about. I mean, it kills, maybe 2 or 3 people a year in the country, but it gets your attention because, like, people swim in a lake and inhale water in their nose. Says screwworms are not new to the U.S. Oh, we know that. Listen, the cattle world, Terry, this said they're not new to the U.S. They were first noted in the Southwest, 1848. They could be fought and eradicated with the introduction of sterilized flies who mate with the females, blocking the natural males and stopping reproduction. It's been done before. Ultra Runner says it's a sad day for the University of South Alabama Gator fans. University was trying to remove all gators, including a large 9-footer. Old Claws, who's lived in the swamp loop for many years, I'll miss seeing him. You know, they have there's an opportunity there, though, because I have yet to fill my 2 gator tags. University of South Alabama, if you give me a little permission here, give me some permissions, I'll go in there and get rid of the gator, and then I get to clock in one of my gators, and everything's good. So, Ultra Runner, I'm sorry. The gator that I have at my house has been given a protection order by family members. Not a big one. So I eye that gator. I'm like, it could be really easy instead of me running all over God's creation, go kill gator. I could kill the one in my front yard, but they say no. So Ultra Runner also said, campaigning outside the polling location doesn't change many minds, but it does make it fun and festive. Voting at an eponymously named polling location did feel a little awkward. Saw this, and if you go over Ultra Runner, I don't know if you're on X or Twitter. Go find my buddy John Sharp over there. What you're talking about, he posted up some pictures there, and he said, "So." And I'm gonna piggyback on what John asked here. He said, I'd like to get everyone's thoughts about this. It happens every election in Alabama. Electioneering can take place 25 feet from the entrance at a voting center. Some states don't allow it at all. A fun tailgate-like atmosphere, or is it awkwardness? Your thoughts. So, yeah, do you like that, or do you not like the electioneering that goes on that you walk through to go in to vote? John asked that question first. I'm absolutely stealing that from him, but I think it's a good question. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What's your thought on that? Okay, more people confirming the Cock of the Walk. The Cock of the Walk thing, Cock of the Walk right now would win the Mobile mayoral election, even though Cock of the Walk is supposed to go into Sims. Unnamed texture says, at noon, 1,100 people had voted in Gulf Shores. Now there's thank you, texture. Because my best guess, and I talked about this when they filled up that Orange Beach mayoral debate, right, that Jeff moderated, Jeff poured in. 1,500 people, right, 1,500 people was full. So they had 1,500 people at the debate. My best estimation, I think I'm probably close, there are only 4,000 some odd registered voters in Orange Beach. So if already at noon, 1,100 people, oh, that was Gulf Shores. I'm sorry. I was thinking Orange Beach. 1,100 people in Gulf Shores. Does anybody have any Orange Beach numbers for me? But thank you, Texter. 1,100 people voted in Gulf Shores. I am sorry. I mistowned you. Speaking of that, neck of the woods, here's a text coming in from our friend, and we'll hear from her tomorrow at 12:30. Erica Thomas from 1819 News said, steady stream of voters in Gulf Shores. People seem to think Robert Kraft will win, but all say it really depends on voter turnout. Yeah, so there you go. Thank you, Erica. We'll be talking to you tomorrow. This from USMC Mike. Well, thank you as a Marine, Mike. Thank you for your service. I appreciate you very, very much. Said, we need to write in John C. Young. And people don't, maybe you don't know my buddy John Young. His middle name is Carlos. So obviously Mike knows. John Carlos Young as Mobile mayor. And he says, also, yesterday you spoke of flag-burning ban by Trump. As a Marine, cannot happen. I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies. We'll get into April Marie joins us in a couple minutes. She and I are going to go round and round about the flag-burning thing. I think I said a bunch about it yesterday, but I'll repeat some of it. Chris said, do you like David's catfish in Spanish? I do. I just don't get that way very often. So I do like their catfish, but it's just like, I don't travel through that area very often, but I have been there before and I did like it. What about Rocky Creek Catfish House over in Mississippi? That's from T-Mac. I have heard great things, T-Mac, about it. I have never been. At Rocky Creek, what a pretty little hamlet there. Just the farms, like, I'm just sounding like my grandparents. Their farms are very tidy. My grandparents used to come, because I come from farmers, and we'd ride down the valley, and they'd point out whose farm was tidy and whose wasn't. And the farms around Rocky Creek in Mississippi, I don't know what's going on there. Tidy farms, great-looking operations. Here's pictures of the gator from USA. Thank you. If y'all hold still there, I'll be out with the equipment here shortly. Let's see. This person, I guess they say they don't like. Good, that's interesting. The person does not like Cock of the Walk. Huh. And then Pat says, doesn't bother me one bit. I did feel weird voting for Prine instead of Connie Hudson. It doesn't bother me one bit. It did feel weird voting for Prine inside the Connie Hudson Community Center, though. Okay, that's pretty funny. It's pretty funny stuff. All right, we'll, for a second, veer away from today's municipal elections. Although, actually, we'll talk to April Marie about that. But also, she wants to take me on this flag burning ban. And yes, the boys this morning did a great job. Dan Dalton did, of talking like what's in the order. We talked about that some yesterday. President Trump kind of gave a simplified version of it. And the work really is on DOJ to make sure they're not stepping on First Amendment rights. But the idea is, you know, you do not pass go. You burn the flag. You do not pass go. You stay in jail for a year if you burn the flag. And I have had some time to research yesterday at the close of the show, said people had been arrested for burning the pride flag. And I appreciated the conversation, but I had to learn more because I was ignorant to that. But now reading it, I think Dan and Dalton talked about it this morning. In that case in New York, the person went and sent a pride flag that was owned by a business in a restaurant on fire, and it caught the restaurant on fire. I don't think they got arrested for burning the pride flag. I think they got arrested for destroying personal private property. So, I mean, to keep these things even in a discussion, I mean, if somebody lights a flag, American flag, on where it's somebody else's flag, well, then we got a problem. If somebody takes a pride flag in the middle of a place where it's not going to set anything on fire and it doesn't belong to somebody else, I don't think there's a charge. I don't think they're charging people and arresting them for it. There may be some case somewhere that I have not seen, but that's out there. Also, coming up in hour number two, Mark Colson, who's with the Alabama Trucking Association, has been on with us a good bit to talk about requirements for English language proficiency. I can't even say the word. Maybe I don't need to have a trucker license either. He'll join us at 1 to talk about that in just a few minutes. It's April Marie.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Some Taylor Swift music, right? But none of that in my library. It would be the good walk-in for this 1235 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Our next guest needs no introduction, but I'll introduce her anyways. She is the guest host in residence here at FM Talk 106.5. Read her work at 1819news.com. And when she's not on a hiatus from social media, she's battling it out on mostly, I see her over on X. It's April Marie Fogle. Hey, April Marie.
Well, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
What an introduction. I appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. So let me tell you what's happened in the last, they just pull back the curtain, which I do all the time. People don't like what's behind the curtain sometimes. But so April Marie and I talked for a second before we went to the news and said, or went to the commercial break and said, there's news about Taylor Swift. Because if y'all don't remember last week, my ignorance of the Taylor Swift thing and the new album and all that. Said there's news. And at that point, a grown man friend of mine, so it was not on the air, a grown man who knows who he is, friend of mine, texted in, it's the news you've been waiting for, Sean, and it's something about Taylor Swift. And then Leanna in the control room comes in here to say, hey, Sean, there's some news. I said, I can't, enough. So April Marie, what important breaking news? By the way, there's wars going on around the planet. You know, we're trying to get our borders secure here, our economy straight. But what is everybody talking about right now?
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have announced their engagement. Both of them posting updates with images from their engagement. I am so over the moon.
Okay, just the same way, y'all, that I went in and I told y'all Monday or whenever it was, or last week when I bought in Cracker Barrel and I've made a killing so far on the stock, I will short the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce marriage. I say give it 2 years. 2 years and they're divorced.
Bitch, no, that is an awful thing to say.
It's how you make money.
No.
You got to short stuff to make money. Sometimes I make money on the rise, sometimes I make money on the fall.
You're a mess. No, this is here's the thing. And I told you this last week. I watched the full 2 hour podcast of these two.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
I did 2 whole hours of my life. I will never get back in them. And I don't regret it. I don't regret a minute of it. They're darling. And you know what? She has lived every moment. I mean, literally, from 15 forward, every moment of her personal life and love life in the public view, and she deserves a happily ever after. Everybody deserves a happily ever after. She deserves one more than that.
It's not good for songwriters. The best songs, I mean, if you like country, you like the blues, you know, like they're songs about heartbreak. Taylor Swift, I mean, she doesn't need a bunch of happy stuff. She needs the heartbreak songs.
It's still going to be edgy.
Edgy. Taylor Swift's going to be edgy.
There's still stuff to draw from. Give the girl a break. She deserves to be happy. I saw the engagement announcement. I immediately sent it. My daughter and our family friend were out getting Chick-fil-A for lunch. And I immediately sent it so that my daughter would see it.
Chick-fil-A and Taylor Swift.
Your listeners today, they thought two things happened today. Of course, the number one thing is pumpkin spice lattes are back at Starbucks. And number two, Taylor Swift got engaged.
For the love of God. For the love of God.
Why is anybody else? Oh, there's an election too.
Yeah, you know what the next thing is? We're going to hear there's a ban on burning pumpkin spice latte or something like that. So yeah, actually, before we get into flag burning stuff, you've got a story. You got many stories over at 1819news.com, but people can check out if they haven't voted yet. And five things to know today before you go. The five things people love a list here. You give five things you should know before you go to vote.
Yeah, what's funny is some of these, I was like, everybody knows this, right? And then I literally, as I was waiting to come on air, I saw someone go, I went to the wrong polling place. So the first thing is, if you go, there's a link to the Secretary of State's website. There's two boxes, one where you check your voter registration, one where you put in your address, and it tells you where your polling place is. Couldn't be easier. If you don't know where your polling place is, you maybe threw out the mail. A lot of cities sent mail out. If you don't know, you can go there and check it out. Yes. The second one is municipal elections are nonpartisan. So if you're one of those people who get to a ballot booth and you're like, I'm just voting straight party, not going to help you here. You are not going to be able to tell who's who.
Good. And we know we talk about this a bunch, and it's nonpartisan.
The ballot equivalent of burkas. Is Sean Sullivan's dream.
Yes, it is. We will remind folks of that in the future. I believe that all candidates should wear burkas and be given numbers, not names, and use a voice synthesizer like they do on 60 Minutes. So you vote for ideas, not people. But yeah, it's good. I think it is. You know, people vote party politics, and we talk about that stuff, you know, the rest of the time. But in municipal, people know, like, oh, that person's a Republican, that person's a Democrat, but it's not listed there. You got to actually think about the person.
Yeah, you've got to actually in municipals. I've covered a lot of municipals in Central Alabama. What's really peeving me off this election cycle are people running under a banner of and particularly conservatism. Nobody's like, I'm secretly pretending to lean left. Everybody's saying those leftists running in these nonpartisan races are saying I'm more conservative than I am. And so, you know, if that is something that matters in terms of values, whether it be school choice and who they're going to appoint to school boards, whether it's going to be, you know, fiscal accountability and budget, whatever it is, do your research. It's a little late, but you got 6 hours. Do your research. The next thing is, do not forget your valid ID. And if if you look at your license and it expired more than 60 days ago, go to 1819 and look at the other valid IDs, which could be a valid pistol permit, a passport, a federal government ID, whatever it is. But you have to have an ID. And then finally, just something to know: if there's a candidate that does not a race where a candidate does not receive a majority of the votes, there will be a runoff election, which will be September 23rd.
Yeah, there we go. And see, there's your primer. You can go read it over at 1819news.com. And runoff, I think, will be part of our discussion going forward for Mobile, maybe not other places. But you're saying it's nonpartisan. So when I saw the sign that said, make Oneata great again, they were...
Yeah, exactly. here's the funny thing is there are...
Make Trustville great again?
This is really entertaining because there are candidates who are proud of their affiliation. One of the things I heard this cycle that I hadn't heard before and I thought it was cute is, you know, potholes aren't partisan, right? Well, no, potholes aren't partisan. But you know what is? Who someone's going to put on any number of these boards, whether it be planning and zoning or school, different school boards or different ones? Those appointments matter. And so, you know, approving whether extra budgets are where it goes, law enforcement, or, oh, maybe we send it to social service people because we want to defund the police. Those things matter. And so, partisanship, we have seen more this cycle than other cycles. And like I said, it's trending towards liberals saying they're conservative.
All right. So I'm done with all this agreement stuff. Let's get into the presidential fiat yesterday, the executive order from President Trump to not only ban, because sometimes I'm banning something, to put teeth in to burning the flag. If you burn the flag, you get a year in jail, right? You burn the flag, you get a year in jail. That's what he signed yesterday.
So what it says is, it's so well written.
What it says, or what did
last night?
What did President Trump say, or what does the order actually say?
What the order actually says.
Okay.
Okay. And this is not what you're going to see on the headlines. This is not what you're going to hear.
No, but he did say that. You know, he did say that.
But Trump is what he
is
saying
is.
You read it. I read it. This is for those who are burning flags to incite violence. If you and five buddies are sitting at your house and you want to have a flag burning party, Trump's not, that's not banned under Trump, okay? What's banned is you going out and you burning a flag during a protest in order to incite additional violence or riots.
Isn't
or
that subjective?
Other law-breaking abilities.
First of all, the idea that it incites a riot, that's a slippery slope we always see. This will come sometimes from the right. Well, we're passing this law to limit your freedoms because it's for the kids. We take care of the children. We're for the kids. The same thing here. It's a slippery slope. You go from the objective thing is, did you burn the flag or not, to subjective. What was your motivation for doing it or what was the outcome? I mean, to say you incite a riot, maybe you do, maybe you didn't. I mean, isn't that on the rioter's responsibility? Well, isn't that personal responsibility, whether you riot or not?
What this is saying that law enforcement and the judicial branch needs to uphold the laws that are already on the books, and they can't let people do dangerous and crazy things under the guise of the First Amendment. And if you are setting fire to things in public, you're inherently there. You're creating a risk.
Then charge them the same way if you lit, you know, whatever. You went out there with some firewood and lit it on fire. Whatever that charge would be, then you have that charge is equal about, you know, whatever it be, reckless. Or I don't know what the charge would be, but it'd be something.
So we have seen in cities across the country where there have been, you know, whatever the flag is, name your leftist, liberal, progressive nightmare flag, right?
Starbucks
and
flag.
The Taylor Swift flag painted on the road. Somebody goes and does donuts on that. And then they're charged with a crime. And then they're like, oh, actually, because it was someone's fundamental beliefs, we're upping that to a hate crime. And it's not like, oh my gosh, this could happen. No, this has happened.
But okay, the street one. But so yesterday, people had said, hey, this case in New York where a woman was arrested for burning the pride flag. And I was ignorant to it, did the research. Well, it was a pride flag that was owned by a store that lit a store on fire. You know, like I said yesterday, somebody had the counter argument that said, hey, we have laws to protect, you know, monuments and all these things like that. Yeah, but those are owned by the public, you know, or those are owned by private entity. At that point, I agree with charging them because they're destroying somebody's private property. If you buy the pride flag yourself, right, you don't burn somebody, you go buy it and then you burn it, I think that's protected speech as well. I mean, the same as burning the American flag. The pride flag, I don't see at the same level of the American flag that represents all of us. I find, you know, I said this yesterday to go back through it. I find it incredibly distasteful. You've known me long enough. I am a flag code nerd. I'm a guy that even says, hey, you can't wear it on your shirt. You can't do this and that. But still, I believe in this First Amendment protection to protect unpopular speech. That's what it is to be patriotic.
One of my favorite movies, there's a great line in there about that, about, you know, the first understanding and loving the First Amendment means you have to understand and love somebody's ability to stand on the corner and shout at the top of their lungs that you disagree with all of your heart. And I feel that way about the First Amendment there. But if there are other crimes happening, we're not talking about you go and take your bonfire out in your yard and burn a flag, but we're talking about you doing this during the course of another protest. Just like, and somebody was arrested for this in Homewood, Alabama just last week, there are laws about having firearms during protests.
Okay.
And so there are laws where if you do this during a protest, there's going to be increased penalties. The thing that I love about this executive order is the one that talks about those here who are here on a visa, those who are not legal citizens of the United States. If you are a guest in our country, you cannot come here and burn our flag, because we all know as a society, as the world, we know what it means to burn a flag. And so you are not upholding the values that you swore on your visa application if you are burning a flag in our country.
I don't know if I've completely thought about all angles of this, but you could make, to agree with you here, could you make the argument that somebody here, and I don't know the law on it, but somebody here on a visa, can they purchase a gun? Could they exercise Second Amendment rights? I don't know the law on it. I may be all wet on this.
I think it depends on how you are here, and I should know this, but I don't know it off the top of my head, so I'd rather say I don't know than answer it incorrectly. But I know that if you are here on a student visa and you are
You're organizing protests in our country, and you are doing things that are unlawful. You're occupying spaces. You're trespassing. You're committing, you know, assault. Whatever it is you're doing, there are things in which you're like, okay, you're leaving, buddy. And if you burn a flag of our country in our country while here as our guest, you need to go home. Like, nobody's forcing you to be here. You are choosing to be here. You are asking to be here. You have asked to be here. And it's just like if someone comes into my house, I constantly, on a completely somewhat related, I constantly hang up the phone on my little brother because he curses at me. And I'm like, I'm giving you my time. I'm giving you my energy. If you're not going to respect that, you got to go. If you're in my house, I have no smoking. I don't let anybody smoke in my house. If you're a smoker, wait till you leave. It's my property rights. It's my thing. That's the way our country is. If you come here, you're burning a flag. You're saying how awful, because you burn an American flag, not because you love it. You burn an American flag because you're in protest of who we are, what our government is, and our values. Go home.
Okay. And by the way, I think as I thought about it, there are some, I think they can, because the dirtbags that shooting up over at the Naval Air Station years ago had bought a gun legally, I think, and was not a citizen. But, you know, I kind of look at this and say, all right, go home. If you do this thing, you go home. Isn't that a slippery slope for everything that somebody may do that, you know, is here? If we say, okay, well, then it's for somebody who's here on a student visa. Okay, all right. Well, what about for somebody who is a citizen, but they're, you know, that their political beliefs don't line up with whatever? Or I would say this, just to wrinkle this some more, I find, you know, there's more ways than just burning the American flag to desecrate the flag. That's where all the flag code nerdity comes in for me. So if somebody is using it as a toga, or they're, you know, to be disgusting here, to floss with it, or what, you know, whatever, then does it apply to that? If they say, okay, well, you know, you can't burn it, but I'm going to pee on it. You know, I mean, where do we go?
Well, the law is desecration of the flag.
Yeah, exactly. So that's correct.
Desecrating it is uniquely offensive and provocative, is what the order says. And so, but here's the thing: is if you, and I say this as someone who, and I, looking back, it is jarring to me how absolutely ignorant I was. But looking back, in college, I kid you not, I had an itty bitty, teeny weeny little Budweiser flag bikini.
Yeah, okay? And I think that should be encouraged, except for the violation of flag code.
That is absolutely offensive in every way. But my intent.
But no, Trump's
was,
not going to throw. Trump's
not.
Nobody's going to throw you into jail for doing that.
Correct, because the idea was, I'm celebrating my pride in being an American, however ignorant it was, versus these yahoos standing on cars in California in the middle of riots against ICE, burning a flag there. Intent, it means something in the law.
And does it, though? I mean, I argue this for panhandling laws, right? That they'll say, well, we got to get rid of panhandlers. I'm like, well, then you need to tell the softball team they can't get out in the road, or the firemen with the boot. I mean, why does...
That said, the fireman in the boot, everybody in the road drives me crazy. Get the heck out of the road, you guys. It's not safe. My mom has brain triggers, and I have a whole thing, and it weirds me out to have somebody knock on my window. It freaks me out every time.
So you're consistent. I'll give you
laws
that.
Laws have to be consistent, and intent matters. People who are celebrating our country, and you know who they are. You've been mm-hmm. to sporting events, or on the beach, or 4th of July, or whatever it is, people celebrating our country. Very, very different from somebody not from our country showing their disdain and their hate for who we are, because ultimately that's what they're doing.
There we go.
They're waving a Mexican flag while burning an American flag. Don't tell me that.
Do I think it's a bad choice? Of course I think it's a bad choice. But is it the...
It wasn't a bad choice. It is a violation of whatever code of that we have,
but
either lawful immigration.
Do lawful, and we're
or
talking about,
unlawful.
Okay, we're talking about lawful migrants. Here's something I, you know, always talk about. I think we need more legal immigration. I think I want more folks in our country. It makes us great. I just want them to do it legally. Do we not give any constitutional rights to somebody who's here on a work visa? Are they without any constitutional right? Do they not have the same protection as a citizen with constitutional rights?
So here's where it is you have, in order to be a here lawfully, in order to get citizenship, there are certain things you're agreeing to, including that you're going to put our nation ahead of other nations. That's not saying you're going to vote one way or another, although the Democrats would love for that to imply that, right? It's not saying you're going to vote one way or another, but it says you're going to be a part of a community and strengthen it. There is no circumstances in which a immigrant burning an American flag in protest, and look at what they've been protesting lately. You're protesting the police. You're protesting the involvement in Israel. You're protesting what Black Lives Matters or thugs getting killed by the police. You're whatever it is you're protesting. If you are here doing something illegal, the flag is but a symbol of that, and one more thing to help you get out.
All right. People want to reach out more of this conversation online with you. Where do they go?
XAPRYLMARIE.
Good stuff. We'll talk again next week. Thank you, April Marie.
Talk again next week. Take care.